Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Today I want to begin to speak on a series I have titled The Force of Faith, and I would like to take my first scripture from the book of Habakkuk chapter 2. Faith is a force. It's not just a state of a man's heart, but actually produces results. It emits a spiritual power into the atmosphere, which affects the things that happen on the earth. Now, in Habakkuk chapter 2, Habakkuk was prophesying. He said, "I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected." He said, "Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that it may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak. And it will not lie." He said, "Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, and it will not tarry." He said, "Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." Please, I want us to notice that verse 4. "But the just shall live by his faith." Now, the first point I want to make in this series of teaching, which I have titled The Force of Faith, is to explain the meaning of the word living by faith, that is to live by faith. Now, faith is a very important matter in life. In fact, everything that we do in life is done by faith. People tell you that seeing is believing, but I say it's not really true. Most of the things that we do, we don't see them before we believe. Many of the things that control our lives, you hear doctors say that don't eat cholesterol, it's not good for you. Most of us have never seen cholesterol, but we're afraid of it because somebody said it is not good for you. And that is a matter of faith. That is, you hear something, though you don't see it, but you believe it. That's what the Bible calls faith. Now, in Habakkuk here, if you read the first chapter, what happened was that God prophesied to Habakkuk and told him what he was going to do concerning the judgment of the nation Israel and all the things that was going to happen. And then he told him to write the things that he has seen, making it plain upon the tablet. He said that he may run who reads it, that if somebody will read it and it will spur him up to action. Now you notice that there is a record of some things written, and that is spurring the person to action. And the reason why he spurs the person to movement is because he has believed that which is recorded. And he was now saying that apart from those who run as a result of reading it, there are this group of people that he called the proud, who say that there is a false prophet prophesying just because what the prophet said has not come to pass immediately. That's what the Bible calls the proud. It says that maybe a man prophesies that the soul that sinned it shall die. He said, "Forget it, we have sinned for all these years and we have not yet died." And the Bible calls that person a proud one. Do you understand my point? That is, he reads something, but he does not run as a consequence. But he said, the man who runs as a consequence, he said that man is what the Bible calls the upright man. Is the person that God refers to as the just man or the righteous man. And he said, as a result, this man will live by his faith. Now, the meaning of the word live is not the way most of us think about it, because in the scriptures, there is a world of difference between living by faith and walking by faith. If you see what Paul said, after describing the things that he believed, he said that we know these things because we walk by faith and not by sight. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. From verse 6, Paul says, "So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." In verse 7, he says, "We know this because we walk by faith and not by sight." Now, there is a difference that I was saying between walking by faith and living by faith. The man who is walking by faith is the one that sees the thing that is recorded and he runs as a consequence of it. He hears the words of the disciples of Jesus, of the apostles of Jesus, who testifies that, yes, we saw him, that he was raised again from the dead. We saw his resurrected person. He appeared to us while we were gathered in a particular room. So even though you, Thomas, was not present, we expect that you should believe, because we are telling you that we saw. And Jesus said, "Blessed is the man who believes without seeing." The person who does believes without seeing is the one that the Bible says is walking by faith. I hope you are getting my point. But what does it mean to live by faith? What he was saying here is this. If you see what Habakkuk was saying in chapter 1, he was describing judgment, which of course will lead to death. So he said people would die as a consequence of the judgment of God. He said, but the man who reads, who believes what he has read and takes action because of what he has believed, the man will live and he will not die. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, where other people died, he would live. He said, why is he living? He said, because of his faith. That is, he's supposed to have died, but right now the man is not dying, the man is living. You see, this is the way life is. The Bible says that the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. And the Bible says that that devil has the power of death. So when people lie under his power, what is administering to people is what the Bible calls death. And I'd like to define death properly. Because when we say death, most people just think that death means that somebody was ill and he died. Somebody had an road traffic accident and he died. Somebody had, they took an overdose of a drug and he died. And we think that is all there is to death. That only describes the death of the human body. But that is a result of all that kinds of death. What I'm trying to say is that death is a spiritual force. Do you follow? That when introduced into the earth, makes everything it touches to go wrong. When God was going to pass judgment upon the man in Genesis chapter 3, he said, because of this thing that you have done, he said that the earth will no longer yield its increase for you. He said, thorns and thistles, this ground will bring forth for you. You will till it by force. You will swear to be able to get bread out of it until the day that you finally pass on. The point here is this. Death has been introduced into the earth. Death is a spiritual force that corrupts everything that God made. At the beginning, when God made things, he said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. That's God's order. That there will be fruitfulness, there will be multiplication, and there will be dominion. Anything that alters this pattern of God is what the Bible calls the force of death. Do you get my point? That is, a man marries today, and after 5 years, they hear that he and his wife, they have become sparring partners in the World Heavyweight Boxing Tournament, WBC. And and then they punch each other so much that after a few months, either the man can't take it anymore or the woman can't take it anymore. At the end of the day, cut a long story short, there's divorce in the home. That's what the Bible calls death. There is a spirit of death that has entered into the marriage and it has corrupted the marriage. I read some time ago that out of every 10 businesses, 9 collapsed in the first 5 years. And of the surviving one, if you gather 10 of the surviving ones, then you find out that another 9 of them will collapse within the next 5 years, meaning that of every 100 businesses, only 1% survives beyond the first 10 years. That is the spirit of death that has gone into businesses that people are doing. I'm explaining something, that death is not just that I was sick and I died. You can be in a career and there is a force of death in your career. You can be in business and there is a force of death in your business. Interestingly, you can be in ministry and the force of death will not leave the progress of your propagation of the work of God alone. Now, that force of death is not restricted to human flesh. When it is working in the human flesh, actually, it is not just that he kills people, he makes them sick. Sickness is a manifestation of the operation of the force of death. We must understand that point. But my emphasis in this series of teachings is on faith and the ability to take life where people were supposed to die. Do you get my point? He said that the just shall acquire life by his faith. One of the new books we released recently is titled By Faith Acquire Life. And in fact, many of the things I'm going to say, you will find them in those books. There are about 3 of them on faith. Now, in that book, Acquire Life, I explain this issue that, you see, in the midst of death, and that's what I want to explain this today, it is possible to bring forth life. Now, you see something that Jesus said. If you quickly open your Bibles to the book of John chapter 5. He said in verse 24, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and has not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Please, I want you to understand that. That is, people can be under the influence of death. And even though they are there, Jesus said, is their faith, notice what he said, he that believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. As a consequence of his faith in him who sent me, he said he has passed from death into life. That is, if you were under the power of death, what you find is that faith will take you out from under the influence of death and bring you into the sphere of life. Please, what do we mean when we say by faith we live? We don't mean that we woke up in the morning and say, oh, I walk about today by faith. That everything, I'm not moved by what I see, I'm not moved by what I hear, I am moved only by what I believe. That is what the Bible calls walking by faith. But when you have refused to be moved by what you see, and you have refused to be moved by what you hear, and you have agreed to be moved only by what you believe, that faith will begin to produce the results, positive results in your life, and that is what the Bible calls living by faith. That is, the man who will appoint his wife and dissolve the marriage after 5 years will discover that even though they quarreled, because you see, one of the things we don't understand sometimes when we're talking about faith is that we think that faith removes temptations from our lives. Faith does not remove temptation. Faith will not say that there will be no threat upon your marriage. Faith does not say there will be no threat upon your business. Faith does not say that you will not see attacks upon your health. What faith says is that where other people died, you will live. Do you follow the point I'm making? Like I said in previous times, that Joseph was not the only one who was cast into prison unjustly. But what marked Joseph out is that in the midst of his adversity, the joy of the Lord was with him, and it produced life for him at the end of the day. Are you getting what I'm saying? So what happened? Joseph acquired life where other people would have died. That's what we mean by living by faith. That's exactly the point we are trying to make. So you see, the man, instead of his marriage dissolving, what happens is that the marriage becomes stronger. They have challenges, all right? His wife annoys him. They quarrel here and there. But at the end of 5 years, his contemporaries who have had similar challenges, they have become divorced. Do you get my point? But what happens to him? He's getting stronger in his marriage. He's getting more committed to his wife. His wife is getting more committed to her husband. And the whole home is getting stronger in the Lord. We say that marriage has acquired life because of the faith of the people therein. Do you get the point? Or they tell somebody that, oh, you have a tendency to develop this disease. Please, let me say this again. Christianity has a promise. Christianity is not about morals. See, moral laws and obeying moral rules is one of those things about Christianity. But the main core of Christianity is the life that is in Christ Jesus. Listen, if you listened to the last Easter, 2 days I spoke on the resurrection of Christ Jesus. And I explained this thing again, that why Jesus came was to overcome the forces of death and allow us to come out of death into life. And like I was saying earlier, what is death? Death is not just that somebody is sick and he died. Death is that people look around and say this economy is bad. Please listen to this. What we experience in the world when we're talking about economic decadence is the force of death. The idea at the beginning was be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion. Are you getting my point? The one that a man works and he earns very little. And the little that he earns is not even enough, all right, to meet his needs. But beyond that, he's even wasted on annoying things. You know, the man labors and finally he gets maybe 20,000 naira, 40,000 naira, 100,000 naira. The day after he gets the 100,000 naira, he hears that maybe somebody just calls him from home that the last storm that passed through the village has just blown off your father's roof. Do you understand my point? Out of the 100,000 naira, he spends 80,000 naira, all right, fixing that roof for his father or even his own house. What's happening is that he's putting that money, like God said, into pockets filled with holes. That is, economic problems are the manifestations of the force of death. Now, this is Christianity. The Bible says that godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise for the life that now is and that which is to come. Please get this point. Godliness has a promise. You see, one of the things we don't understand. Let me say something about God briefly. God doesn't give you conditions, all right? In that, okay, look, if you do what is right, you see, it will actually favor you. So it's better to do what is right. Maybe you are going into business. God will not show you the mechanisms by which doing honestly will favor your business. He will command you that you must never use an unjust weight. He will command you that you must never defraud anybody. He will say, this is the will of God concerning you, your sanctification, that no one defrauds his brother. Are you getting my point? But this is actually the matter of fact. A man who obeys the word of God, there is a release of the power of life into his business. Listen, there is nothing on this earth that is sustained by itself or by human effort. Actually, there is a spiritual force that sustains things. You know, sometimes you've heard me complain before. People sometimes call me a motivational speaker. Actually, if you are hearing this, hear it clearly. I hate that title. Do you follow what I'm going to say? I am not a motivational speaker. I am not. I don't like the title at all. I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the way of success, we say. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Is that power of the Lord Jesus Christ that I am talking about? Are you getting my point? That there is a power. There is a power. That is, if I do what is right, all right, God blesses me because I did what is right. It is not just that what I did gets results. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to say. There's one example I used some time ago. I'm talking about obedience to the word of God. That obedience to the word of God is not just a method of getting results. And that's why I say, look, whether we say the word works, and I believe it. I say it all the time, the word works. But you see, sometimes people don't understand that what we mean by the word works. We don't mean that if you are to do business, and people say, we want you to bribe us, we want to take a big kickback of the business. And you say, no, because of the power of righteousness, I will not do it. And you will now leave the place and find out that you are the one that gets the jobs and other people don't get it. Let me tell you, as a matter of fact, What will happen is that you will not get the job the first time, other people will get it. Those who are bribing, those who are kicking people back, if you know what I'm going to say, who are getting involved in bribery and corruption, they will seem to be making progress. You will not initially be making progress. But what we are saying is that the power that sustains your business, the power that brings you prosperity, enduring prosperity, the power that will sustain your own businesses when other businesses are collapsing, that power is released into your life as a result of your work of faith and a result of your work of righteousness. So that there is what the Bible calls trying times. The days of temptation or the day of the visitation of the Lord. In which a man builds upon sand and another one who builds upon rock. Both of them are tempted by the storms of life. What you are prepared for is to be able to withstand the storms of life. Listen, anybody can prosper in the midst of prosperity. Do you get my point? What God fortifies you for by the law of faith and the law of righteousness is to be able to withstand in the day of adversity. The Bible says that if you faint in the day of adversity, then your strength is small. We are saying that you have a strength inside your soul. There is a strength that God gives to you because of your faith and because of your righteousness. There's an example I was going to give. You know, I heard myself teaching it some time ago. I said, for example, we talk about raising children. So we'll talk about disciplining your kids, instructing them in the way of the Lord, all right? Using the rod upon them when it is appropriate and not getting fooled by these modernistic tendencies that a rod is not good for the back of a child. The Bible says simply, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child and the rod of correction will drive it far away from him. Now, it doesn't mean, now this is what I want to bring out. I have noticed that there is no direct method that you actually as a Christian can use to train the child with the rod. And with the word that you can scientifically show that it brings results. No, listen, even though science may say it is true, but it's actually relevant. What I have found out, and that's what I have learned as a parent, that once you instruct the children with the word of the Lord, and you discipline them with the rod when it is appropriate, what God sees is that you are obeying him. And then he gives you as a reward good children. Do you get my point? He gives you as a reward disciplined children. He gives you as a reward, all right? Children that are well trained in the way of the Lord. We must understand that that is actually what sustains Christianity. Christianity, I say this all the time, is not about methods. It's about contacting the power of God. I said something earlier about life out of death. That is, in the midst of death, being able to experience life. We are not saying, you know, sometimes I'm one person that believes so strongly in this country. I'm one person that believes very strongly that God, in the midst of the valley of dry bones, can bring forth a great army. What we just need to do is to learn to prophesy. He said, prophesy, son of man. I say, prophesy. When God said that, what he was saying is that we cannot judge by what our eyes are seeing. But if we speak according to the word of God, there is a power that is released that brings forth the army in the midst, all right, of death, in the midst of the valley of dry bones. What am I trying to explain? I am not saying that a man like me, I have so much faith in the country. Therefore, judging by the things that we are seeing, we will see that, okay, where other people are running, if we don't run, we will discover that we will get the things that they do not get because they forgot and they didn't see it and they left some things behind. There is no scientific explanation for what we are going to experience with children of God in this nation. What we are saying, however, is that if by faith we tackle the issues of life, is if by faith in the midst of adversity we give our tongues to God and we speak only his word, one day, listen, he said, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. One day something will happen. We that have spiritual understanding, we know that it is time to rejoice because our redemption has come. People may say it is calamity, but one day judgment will come and remove every worker of iniquity and finally give us room to prosper. Do you get my point? People will now say, you were just lucky. If that thing had not happened, you would not have seen the prosperity you were believing. You don't get the point. It had to happen that I might see the thing that I have believed. Like I say, you cannot predict the life of the believer. You know what he says? He said, the wind blows, I like the way it says in King James, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and no one knoweth whether it cometh or whether it goeth. He says, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. Are you getting my point? That is, you cannot explain what is coming out of his life. You are following my point? So that's why I say all the time, quoting from Psalm 75, he said, not from the east, not from the west, does exaltation come. Not from the south, he said. He said, but God is judge. But God is judge. That factor in the life of the Christian is that God factor. Many years ago, we watched all the problems that happened in Nigeria. Annulment of one election, the imposition of another military ruler, and the suppression of all kinds of opposition, and all kinds of discontentment in the minds of the Nigerian populace. And in fact, everybody was afraid that this nation would break down. Some said that a nation of over 100 million people, the refugee crisis will kill the whole of West Africa. Do you understand my point? You know, they will look at things that happen in other countries in which conflicts will break out, civil disobedience. You know, you see riots everywhere. They did not happen in Nigeria. A friend of mine, a senior person to me in the work of faith, was analyzing. He said all those making the projections for God one factor about Nigeria, he said it's called the God factor, that there is a special presence of God in Nigeria. Let me say something to you. When you hear things like that, some people will say that, if that is the case, why are things not happening as good as they are happening in some other country? Let me tell you something. If you know from the depths, I don't know how to explain this, the depths of darkness that we are coming out from, you will know that it is of the mercies of God that we are not consumed. Are you getting the point I'm making? That the mercy of God is actually mightily present in our midst as Christians in Nigeria. So you find out that the God factor, all right, is always an issue in the life of the believer, which makes it such that you cannot predict his future by looking at his background. Are you getting my point? You cannot predict his future by looking at his background. You can't. Paul said, even those of us that appear like we have a positive background with which to produce the future or predict the future, he said, anything that appears like natural gain to me, I count them but dung because of the surpassing knowledge of Christ Jesus. This is the point I'm making. Because once we have that surpassing knowledge of Christ Jesus and the power of his resurrection is released into our lives, then we are able to produce for this earth things far beyond what eyes had ever seen or things that have ever entered into the heart of man. Because if we are to use our positive background, there's a limit to which we can imagine. But with Christianity, he said, the slave and the free, they are the same thing. The educated and the uneducated, they are the same thing. Male or female, they are the same thing. Do you follow my point? Whether his grandfather was a slave or was a king, they are the same thing. Once they enter into Christ Jesus, anything can happen from anybody's life. What am I explaining today? Talking about faith, that the foundation of Christianity is faith. And Christianity has a promise. What does it say? It says to everyone that there is hope. There is faith as a substance of things hoped for. That is, when other people thought that everything will go wrong, I just know in my heart that everything is going to be all right. Why do you know? Because Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, and on the third day, he rose again from the dead. To show that no matter how dead a situation has been in my life, it can live again. Are you getting my point? If I believe that, you know what he says? I will see the power of God manifested in my life. That is actually what the Bible calls grace. Are you getting the point I'm making here? Listen, this is Christianity. It is not a joke. So Jesus said something to his disciples. He said, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. What does it mean? We know things will have gone wrong. The way I like to explain the meaning of salt of the earth is Sodom and Gomorrah. When God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he stopped by the house of Abraham and said, I'm about to destroy these people. And Abraham said, let me cut the long story short. What if we find a certain number of people, and it came down to 10. He said, if we find 10 people, I will spare the land for the sake of 10. Now, those 10 people, that's what Jesus was teaching us in Matthew chapter 5. Those 10 people are the salt of the earth if they had been found. But that land, they couldn't boast of 10 righteous people. So the few people that had righteousness in their generation in the land, God pulled them out. That was Lot and his family, all right? He pulled them out and destroyed the whole land. Listen to me. This is what I believe very strongly. Nigeria will not be destroyed. This nation will yet prosper. Not because all the politicians have repented of corruption. No. I don't. That is unnecessary. Not because all the civil servants have become very diligent in their work. That is unnecessary. But because there is what the Bible calls a remnant who constitutes the salt of the earth for the nation. And if those people are found in the number that is pleasing to God, then God will spare the nation for their sake. And listen to this, those of you who do unrighteousness. A day will come. So that God might prosper those who walk in faith before him, he has to judge wickedness and terribly judge unrighteousness, that the righteous might flourish in the land. That is why I say all the time, apart from brain drain, worse to any nation is spiritual drain. Because God always requires a reason to sustain a nation.
God always requires a reason to bless a general people. Do you get my point? That is, Laban came when Jacob was about to depart from him. Laban said, I have divined that God had blessed me because of you. That is, the judgment that will have been upon the house of Laban, it was suspended because of Jacob. You are getting my point. Jacob was the salt of that house. That's why Laban panicked when he found out that Jacob was leaving. He said, no, the source of my prosperity is about to go. The source of my blessing is about to go. Listen, I like one thing that Jeremiah said. He said, when not that the Lord showed us mercy, we will have become like Sodom, we will have become like Gomorrah. Those of you who complain about the state of Nigeria, let me say to you, were it not that God looked at the salt of the earth in Nigeria, we will have become like Rwanda, we will have become like the then Yugoslavia. People shout, Nigeria is not a nation, Nigeria is not a single nation, there are different kinds of people in the nation, there are different nations inside Nigeria. Please stop talking ignorance. The America you want to run to and die for, from every corner of the world. Why don't you say America is not a nation? All some of these are our theologies and philosophies, they come out of anger and out of poverty. Do you follow my point? People have been angry. They feel like I have been oppressed. This Nigeria is not a nation. If you want to know what it means for a nation not to be a nation, go to the then Yugoslavia. They have carved out more than six nations from there as of today, and they are still divided. America then found strength in number. As big as they were, they said, no, we are not big enough. They started NAFTA to unite Canada, America, and Mexico for trade. Europe looked at it and said, come on, how come these Americans are oppressing us so much? Is it because they are so big? They started joining to form the European Union. Do you follow my point? Some people say our problem is that we are different kinds of people. Look, later on I'll talk about it. Our problem is that wickedness has been in the heart of the people. But this is what I'm trying to say today. That we will have suffered terrible judgment, but God has had mercy upon us till now because of the salt of the earth. That is, by faith we have produced life for this nation. That's why I said, worse than brain drain for any nation is spiritual drain. That is why I feel a special commitment to my nation, Nigeria. It is not because I do not believe that the streets in America are better, but I feel that the streets in Nigeria will never become better, except God has a reason. One thing I have found out, when you see things happening around, listen, there are always hidden spiritual reasons why they happen. What I'm trying to say is that you may get to a place and you find that development has come into this land. You say, oh, very good. They had a good governor. You don't understand that God gave them a good governor because of 10 or 20 people he found in that city and said, I want to prosper this city because of this person. God said he suffered no man to do them wrong, saying, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. When we hear the word prophet there, we think he's talking about a preacher. But if you look at it in context, he was talking about Abraham, he was talking about Isaac, he was talking about Jacob. What was he talking about? Who are the prophets? They were the people that God moved all the actions of the earth around. Are you getting my point? If a king prospered, he prospered because of Abraham. If a king was judged, he was judged because of how he dealt with Abraham. A man will sit down at home and suddenly will discover that a plague had entered into the palace. What happened? They said, oh, guy, you know, yesterday, far away, we went and took another man's wife. So where is the woman? It's inside our palace. He said, that's where this plague has come. That's what he means by touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. What I wanted to explain, the anointed of God, the prophets of God are those who are taking hold of him by faith and they are releasing the power of life into everywhere that you find them. They are the ones that Jesus called the salt of the earth. I hope you got my point.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.